Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike Stanton, long-time major league pitcher, and I'm not saying you're old, Mike. I'm just saying you're experienced. How's that? And now you can see him on the Astros pre- and post-game shows. He's been doing that, and he does a great job covering our Houston Astros, talking about our Astros before and after games. And I would imagine it's pretty easy when you got a really good you see other guys, Mike, that have to talk about a lot of losses. You haven't had to do that. You've had it's a nice job. And, oh, by the way, congratulations that you guys are going to be on the air this year after all the news with AT&T and Warner Brothers and Discovery and all of that. How worried were you about that, whether or not you guys would have a regional network this year?
Well, I think, you know, thanks for having me, guys. I think you're obviously concerned. I mean, you know that they're going to – somebody's going to have to cover the games. And, you know, that's the business side of it. I'm not involved in that. Was it concerning? Yes. Is it concerning? It still is. But – you know, you just go along with look at the schedule and just do your thing and let those people take care of that kind of business. That's way above my pay grade.
Mm-hmm. And you get to talk about a good baseball team again. But, Mike, we haven't seen these injuries like we've seen so far this spring. The Astros are pretty darn lucky. This spring is getting a little concerning now with Michael Brantley on the IL, Jordan not ready, McCullers not ready. It seems like this is a little bit different than we've seen before.
Yeah, it is, and that's obviously a problem that everybody in Major League Baseball has to go through. You're going to have your injuries. I mean, we do have during the broadcast yesterday on AT&T Sportsnet, we did get to talk to Joe Espada, and Joe's still optimistic about Jordan. He thinks Jordan is still going to be ready for opening day. That would be a big plus. Obviously, not going to be Jose Altuve, that's for sure. Hasn't had surgery yet. Swelling's got to go down before they can get in there. So you really don't have a time frame until they can actually get in there and figure out exactly what the extent of the injury was. Michael Brantley, I think this was kind of expected a little bit. We'll just have to wait and see what his time frame's going to be. But, yeah, I mean, this is one of those things. The Astros, over the years, have been relatively healthy. Yes, they have had their injuries here and there, but it hasn't been, it hasn't been a big, big problem. Good thing now is you're still in spring training. You still have time here to figure out what's going to happen at second base, and you have a very long season in front of you. So, you try and be optimistic, but this is something everybody in baseball has to put up with.
Do you see David Hensley as a legitimate as the new Aledmys Diaz with his ability to play multiple positions? How confident do you feel in David Hensley at this particular moment, or is there still a lot to still uncover in terms of his preparedness for that kind of role?
I think he can be an answer short term, and who knows long term. I mean, the one thing you do like about David is defensively he's solid, and offensively, I mean, we see quality at bats from him all the time. I mean, he's not this big home run hitter, but you know, he puts together some quality at bats. He's not up there just flailing away. So I think he could be an answer, and this is strictly just my opinion. I think he's going to get a good long look at second base, because I think Mauricio Dubon, his greatest value is in the ability to move him around. So I think that even though you could do the same thing with David, with Mauricio's speed and him being able to play at least average, if not above average, defense in multiple positions, I think you leave him on the bench and you use him, you know, the way you need to as a defensive replacement, whether it's, you know, in the outfield or one of the infield positions. But, yeah, so I think that's what's going to happen at second base. We're not exactly sure. They're still trying to figure it out. But like I said, you like where the coaching staff and the organization, where their mindset is right now. They're not panicking. They're not doing anything crazy. You know, they're gonna kind of wait and see what's going on, what the options are out there as far as second base is concerned. You know, left field, well, again, same thing. We'll have to wait and see. But it does look like Yordan, there is still a chance that he's ready for opening day.
Yep. Mike Stanton with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Should we concern at all about Hunter Brown, lower back spasms, and he wasn't able to go, and he really hasn't. I guess we just assumed that Hunter Brown was going to walk in and be Justin Verlander this year, and so far this spring he's had a nice outing or two, but how concerning is it with this lower back problem now?
I'm not really concerned with it right now. I think that, you know, in spring training you're doing things you're not going to do in the regular season. You're not going to take PFPs every day. You know, you're not having to get up early in the morning. You know, you're going to get into a different routine. And I think, you know, spending as many years as I have, as many springs as I did in spring training, there's aches and pains all over everywhere. But I'm not really concerned that much unless this, you know, really keeps him off of the mound for an extended period of time. Everybody has little aches and pains, even young guys. It's not just old dudes like me, but yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. But I'm not overly concerned right now. You know, he keeps himself in good shape. You know, he's got plus stuff, and I like his attitude on the mound. I like how he's a bulldog. He really doesn't care. He's just out there letting it fly, letting it eat. It's fun to watch guys like that.
Mike Stanton joins us right now, and you know, Mike, we try to make a point at the end of last season that this is not normal, what's happening with the Astros, this level of success, and you want to make sure that you truly appreciate it as it's happening. You're not constantly looking forward to the next day, the next year, and the next year. As a former player and a guy who's been around this team now for a while, how do you take it all in? Because you understand how rare this truly is that we're seeing right now. Even though this feels normal for us as fans and people who cover the team, this is not normal in any stretch of the imagination in baseball. It's just not what we see usually.
Yeah, I've been blessed in my baseball career to play on some of the best teams. I've also been blessed to play on some of the, we'll just call them, not the best teams. And yeah, you have to, I think fan bases have short memories, as they should. And, have a tendency to forget the struggling years of 2012, 2013, 2014. I was still covering the Astros then, and I have not forgotten those years. So it's fine for the fans to be greedy and that kind of stuff, but players need to realize what's going on here, that this has been a very, very special era in Astros baseball. They're actually, it's one of the things that they're promoting this year. It's the golden era of Astros baseball. And it truly is. I mean, it is remarkable to see what this team has been able to do, how good they've been able to be over a long extended period of time. Because if you go back, yes, there are, you know, you have Altuve, you have Bregman, you have, you know, all the guys that came up through their minor leagues. But if you look at the roster, there really has been some turnover. So you have to give credit to the front office for putting the team together, for getting the right players in the right positions and you know, focusing on the right things on the field and off the field. So it's been really fun to see. It's not over. This is still a very good team, even though they do have some injuries. You know, the American League pennant still has to go through Houston, and I think Houston is still one of the top two or three teams in the league to go back to the World Series.
Absolutely. Mike Stanton with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you watch the World Baseball Classic last night?
I did. I listened to probably the first half of it, and then the second half, I was actually sitting in front of the TV and watching it. You know, I still have a little bit of mixed feelings about the tournament just simply because of the timing of it. But I don't think you can argue with the excitement, whether it's the fans' excitement, whether it's the players' excitement, whatever it is. I don't think it's going anywhere. But, yeah, I got a chance to watch. What a game.
Yeah, and how about that? I don't know that there will be a bigger – we were just talking about it. There will be a bigger moment in Major League Baseball, not until the postseason for sure, I don't think, than Ohtani versus Trout in with two outs in the ninth inning with the title on the line.
Yeah, that was special. That really was. And you're right. There's no way a regular season game can live up to, you know, the drama that we saw in several occurrences in this WBC. I thought that they did a great job in promoting it. They did a great job. They had some great teams in it. But, yeah, to have that angel-on-angel crime there in the in the ninth inning was pretty special.
Absolutely.
I like the way Ohtani approached it. You know, hey, Mike, you're going to get me? You know, he gave him – yeah, he threw the 3-2 slider. You knew it was coming. After he pulled the 2-2 fastball down and away at 102 miles an hour. But he also gave him two fastballs right down the middle.
He did?
Oh, yeah.
Trout had two pitches. Now, they were 100 miles an hour.
Couldn't catch
up. But he had two pitches to hit. And I like that Shohei challenged him.
You think this
now
will
ever
catch up?
That's going to be a constant conversation all year in the clubhouse for the Angels.
Yep. And I thought the announcer did a nice job. One of them's going home with the trophy and the other ain't. One of them's going back to the Angels with a trophy and the other one's not. You think this will ever catch on in the U.S.?
With a medal. What's that?
You think this will ever, the World Baseball Classic will catch on? I don't think we're nearly as excited about it as the Latin American countries or Japan or the Asian countries. You think it'll catch on here more?
I think it did. They did a good job of promoting it this year. And if you notice in the stands, they were packed even for the games that the United States weren't involved. You know, Miami was crazy. Especially the Puerto Rican Dominican Republic game. I mean, they were just on fire there down in South Beach. So, I think it will get better. I like that it's only every 4 years. You know, I know we haven't had one since 2017 because of COVID, but, I think if we did it any sooner than that, I think you would get more kickback from, more flack from the teams themselves just simply because the players are at risk. But, you know, every 4 years, you know, it's kind of the baseball version of the Olympics. You know, that's, and I think it does stick around. I think that even though you did have Edwin Diaz for the Mets, fluke accident, him blowing out his patella tendon in a celebration, but they weren't really celebrating. I mean, they were just kind of jumping up and down a little bit. And then now, too, the injury with breaking the thumb on his right hand. There's going to be injuries. Those are both injuries that could have happened in spring training. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, Altuve's still taking at bats. But I do think it sticks around. I do think it continues to get bigger. And I think Major League Baseball will do even next time around, will do even a better job of promoting it. Just because the more you do it, the better you are. You know what the product is, the better you are at getting it out there.
And let's face it, you know, for a sport, Mike, that talks about, okay, we got to find ways to make baseball as relevant to all the age groups as possible. You know, there's concerns about this. Basketball, one of the huge advantages that basketball has had is that basketball went global, thanks in large part to Dream Team. When the Dream Team, was such a big force, and Michael Jordan obviously was a big part of that even before then. I think in baseball, we already know Latin American countries love, you know, but these are Latin American countries that don't have soccer teams. You're either baseball or soccer, and if you're a baseball team, this is your World Cup. And I thought it was very interesting. I guess it's not surprising, but six Dominicans were asked, what's bigger, the World Series or this? Five said this is bigger than the World Series for us. And one said they're equally tied. I mean, I don't think it's going anywhere. If anything, I think it's going to start having more participation from some of the stars.
Well, I think that, you know, everyone's always shooting for the United States, and the reason is because this is where Major League Baseball is. This is the premier level at the sport. And, you know, I think here in the United, I think it has caught on. I think that there are a lot of people that are still kind of like, well, yeah, but it's you know, it's just a tournament. But you talk to the players are ecstatic. I can tell you in my career, there's one thing I wish I could have done, and that's put USA across my chest. I never got to do that. I wish I could have. You know, obviously I'll never do it as a player, maybe someday. I could do it as a coach or something, but I never got to do that. But you see these teams, you know, whether it's the Latin American country, you see the celebration from the Japanese team, Team Japan last night. I mean, you know, they were truly excited about this. You know, they were talking about last night's broadcast maybe being the most watched baseball game in world history because of the global approach of this tournament. And, you know, I think that's probably the case, even though, you know, we've had some big ratings on World Series games, but that's usually mostly just the United States.
That's big for baseball, too.
Yeah, but I wonder if, listen, here's the guys that we threw yesterday. Kelly, Loop, Freeland, Adam, mm-hmm. Bednar, Williams. I wonder if how this thing ended, if the Verlanders and the Scherzers don't say, you know what, maybe I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Could be. I mean, I think that like the more you see the product that they're putting out there, the more you see how, you know, I can tell you the one guy that I did not envy was Mark DeRosa, the manager of the USA team, because he had, I mean, they asked him last night, does it feel like 2 weeks or does it feel like something else? He goes, I feel like we've been together for 2 months. And because of the stress he had to go through, because there were so many rules, and he's talking to managers from all the major league teams. He's talking to general managers, making sure everybody's still healthy. I mean, he was on the phone talking to people all day, every day, you know, them just checking on their players. And that's, you know, that's obviously the biggest issue with this tournament is the timing of it and are my players staying healthy? And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, players have to be put at risk for a tournament like this, but there's really no time to play this tournament.
Yeah.
You can't do what hockey does. You can't do what hockey does. You can't take two weeks off in the middle of the season for the Olympics. You know, you can't do it after the season because you've already played so much baseball. This is really the only time, but it's not optimal either.
No, it's absolutely. But hey, look at Urquidy only threw the Astros were like, hey, we were hoping Urquidy would throw more, so he's ready for the season.
Spring, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And instead, he only threw 47 pitches, and they're like, well, hopefully we'll be able to ramp him up for his start.
Yeah. I mean, we talked to him during the broadcast last night, yesterday, and you know, he said he'll be fine. His next time out, he'll throw 75 pitches. So he may be a start behind, but he's not. Way far behind. And you know, with Jose, the great thing about Jose is dude throws strikes all the time.
Yeah.
And so that allows him to keep his pitch count down. But, you know, that is a problem. You remember, you go back to the last one in 2017, you know, Bregman came out of the WBC with like two at-bats, you know, and then he got off to a slow start during the regular season just simply because he didn't have the repetitions. You know, that's another one of the problems that Mark DeRosa had, was making sure that all these guys are getting their, trying to win the games, but also keeping in mind that they have to get the reps to get ready for the regular season.
Hey, Mike, quick one, but this will be the last one for me, but I'm curious about the pitch clock. You know, we talked about pitch clock. What is it going to do for pitchers' rhythms, hitters' rhythms? I want to ask you about throwing more pitches in a shorter period of time. For a pitcher, and maybe it's a certain type of pitches you're throwing, I don't know, do you think there's any concern about the additional quote-unquote rest that you get between pitches? Now that you're going to be pitching a higher concentrated number of pitches in a shorter period of time, is that a concern at all for pitchers, do you think?
I think it might be a little. Most of these guys, when I say most, I mean the vast majority, they keep themselves in great shape. You know, you don't see very many baseball players now that are, you know, are questionable as far as their conditioning. You know, one thing that, you know, so the Astros played the Marlins yesterday. We covered it with AT&T, and the game was 2:07. Now, there wasn't a whole lot of offense, but it seemed like the pitchers, now I didn't put it on the clock, but it seemed like the pitchers were throwing a pitch every like 10 seconds. I think one of the things that all the pitchers have to figure out is how long is 15 seconds. And I know you go, oh, you're only talking about a couple seconds, but those couple seconds of recovery in between pitches you know, maybe the difference of getting fatigued in, you know, in an inning or two, or being able to extend yourself further. So it still seems like it's rushed. Now that the WBC is over, everybody gets all their players back into their own camp, and now they can, you know, now you still have about a week left in spring training to kind of work it out. I think this, you know, there's going to be some hiccups. There's going to be some things happen at the beginning of the season. But I think by the time we get to May, I think everybody's pretty much put in, you know, figured out their own routine. And, you know, you'll just go from there. But it is a little concerning. I mean, there's a couple things that that concern me. I'm not a big fan of the limited pickoffs, but we'll just have to wait and see how it all works out. I mean, it's a lot of rule changes to be thrown at you in 1 year, but you know, these guys, you know, they're professionals. You know, they've been on pitch clocks for most of the guys have been in the minor leagues. There's been a pitch clock in the minor leagues for a while. So I think it's going to be okay. But, yeah, there's still going to be some adjustments that need to be made.
Absolutely. Mike Stanton, Astros pre- and post-game, longtime pitcher in the major leagues with us here. Great to get your insight, Mike. Thanks for joining us again. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
All right, Mike Stanton here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm going to take a little shot of tequila with him.
Yeah, would love to. Well, although we don't do shots with Maestro Nobel, we sip. Well, I take it back. I actually did shots after the Astros World Series. A lot of them with friends, though. And this is a great opportunity to remind you that Maestro Nobel actually goes better when you're sipping, because you can really get a good feel for the different flavors and the different flavor profiles and components. It's just such a smooth, smooth trip when you have some Maestro Nobel. Whether it is, I was talking to a bartender the other day, and he was, and they didn't have Maestro Nobel at the bar. And I said, "Are you familiar with Maestro Nobel?" He goes, "Yeah, I like it. I like their Diamante. The Diamante is their Cristalino." He goes, "I really like that. I've had that and had the Reposado." And I was like, "Whoa, okay, so you're familiar." He goes, "Oh yeah, we should definitely be carrying it, but I don't make those decisions." And I wasn't going to just get into it with the beverage director, because me and him could have just had a little scrap right there, and there's no reason to do that. He'll figure it out. He'll figure out that Maestro Nobel is absolutely a tequila he should be carrying in his restaurant. The same thing with liquor stores. If you don't see Maestro Nobel, make sure you ask for it by name. If you do, purchase a bottle. I promise you, you're going to thank me later. It is very reasonably priced for such a high-end tequila. It's really a high-quality tequila made in Tequila, Mexico. 11 generations of tequila makers have come up and fine-tuned the most delicious types of and varieties of tequila that you're going to find, from the Añejos, the Reposado, the Cristalino, the Añejo Extra Cristalino, which is top of the food chain tequila. Unbelievable smoothness in ridiculously cool packaging. That one's going to be more expensive, but it's for those people who are really big-time, high-end tequila lovers. That's one you've got to try. Maestro Nobel. Wherever fine liquors are sold, Maestro Nobel.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real, fun sports. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Chad, Royce Huffman Jr. Yeah.
I found a guy yesterday. He had a really good workout, this wide receiver from...
Royce Huffman, not Royce Huffman Jr. Yeah. Royce Huffman did it.
So this wide receiver
returned from punts
Davenport. This wide receiver from Davenport, he had a 39-inch vertical leap, a 4.440. He's got pretty good size. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should check into him. See, you know, I may need to write him up. So I pulled up his stats. I'm like, huh. He averaged 42 yards a punt as a punter. He also ran a 4.440. And he returned two punts. He also returned, actually, he returned 19 punts. So he had 19 punts. 11 of them were inside the 20. He averaged 42 yards a punt. He handled punt return. He had two kickoff returns. He had two kickoffs, and he had 53 catches this year. like, this doesn't usually happen where I see a guy punt and return punts.
Right.
I mean, you're saying you know someone who's done that?
Yeah. Royce Huffman Jr., I believe.
Oh, young Royce.
Royce punted. I don't think he returned punts. I think Royce Jr.
Yeah, this is punts. One guy, Cy Barnett, punted and returned punts in the same year.
I think so, too.
That doesn't happen much.
I'm pretty sure.
Called ever. Have you ever seen? I'm going to ask you. This
punted
is a serious question.
Punted and returned punts. I just told you, Royce Huffman Jr.
Did he do it in the same year?
Yeah.
So you do? He did do it where?
I think so. I got to text him.
There's no way. No one's ever
at
done
TCU.
It. No Texan's ever done it.
No, well, no Texan has ever done it.
The Texan had a punter tear his
knee. He was born and raised here, and then he played at TCU. There's
no way. I'm looking up Royce Huffman's stats.
Royce Huffman Jr., yeah.
Not Big Daddy Royce?
Now, Big Daddy punted, but he only punted against the wind or something. Big Daddy was a punter for TCU back in the day, but he only punted against the wind or with the wind, one of the two.
I just have a lot of baseball stats for Royce. Oh, here we go. Royce Huffman football stats.
Okay.
TCU. Is he from Sugar Land?
Yes.
Was he 6 foot? Did he go to school at Elkins?
Yep. All those things.
Let's see.
All those things are correct.
Receiving stats, scoring, punting. Yeah, he was a punter.
And he punt returned.
Dude.
I told you.
He's the second player I've ever seen in history who punted and punt returned.
Yeah.
He averaged 40.4 yards a punt in his 2 years at TCU. And he averaged 8.3 punt returns.
I told you.
Wow, this is huge. This is he had one blocked. He had one blocked in 1998.
Well,
dude, Royce Huffman punted. This is such a crazy thing to me. He punted and returned a punt. Yeah. No one ever does this except Cy Barnett.
Well,
anyone's talked about is Cy Barnett.
It's the Royce Huffman Jr. Award, not the Cy Barnett Award.
Royce Huffman Jr. is the Jim Thorpe of our time.
Right.
He is the punted Jackie Robinson for punter and punt returning.
Right. He's not the
He is the Kurt Flood of punting and punt returning. He is the Billie Jean King of punting and punt returning.
I tell you things all the time. Who would have known this?
How would you know that he punted and punt returned?
I talked to him about it.
No one has done
this.
He's a friend. I think
we talked about it. He punted and he punted and punt returned.
I think this has been doctored.
You don't even, you know, you think Cy Barnett is, Cy Barnett, he's the Cy Young of the Jim Thorpe.
God, I've never even watched it. Davenport. I just know what his workout numbers were. I bet Royce didn't jump 39.5-inch vertical leap and run a 4.4.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
no, he didn't. I bet Cy Barnett never played third base in the minors.
No, he didn't. He probably never did. Played. I think Royce played a bunch of positions in the minors. Had 300 minor league hitter and couldn't get up.
He probably hit a home run off of several future major league pitchers.
Yeah, he did. Well, he wasn't a big home run hitter. That's one of the reasons he didn't get up. He didn't do steroids, which all the other guys. Yeah, he was in the steroid era
where guys
were getting up. I'm not going to mention any names, Keith Ginter, but there were some guys that. But there were some guys.
Glad you're not going to mention any names.
I didn't mention any names.
I feel like that one's going to come back to haunt you.
I'm not going to mention any names, but there were guys that
were passing him by. Stop not mentioning names.
Yeah, yeah. So, Chris, I'm the one that's talking about it. Royce Jr. did it. Thank you. I'm the one that's been saying it. Chris is listening to the show. Royce Jr. did. I know he did. I'm the one that said he did. Come on. I was on punter and punt returners a long time ago.
Okay? Yeah.
Lance is just onto this.
Just getting onto this. I had no idea this is such a huge deal.
You know who else knew about this? Craig DeSerf.
I don't think so. I don't think he did. He knows about bodybuilders. You know he's friends with Lee Labrada? You know Lee Labrada's like from Labrada Nutrition?
Yeah.
The guy who's been an unbelievable bodybuilder during his whole... They like hang out together. They're good friends. Them and their families hang out together. And Lee is still ripped. Craig is stout. Like he's stout. He's a stout guy. I mean,
messing with him, that's for sure.
Oh, you don't have your mic on.
You ain't messing with him, that's for sure.
No, you're not messing with Craig DeSerf. Craig DeSerf will. And listen, if he needs to do a push-up contest against you so that you get that car, he'll do that for you if that'll make you happy. He does whatever makes you happy. One thing he won't do, though, is push you. Well, his sales staff, he's like in charge of the location. But, you know, a sales staff, the one thing he will not stand for is anyone being pushy, anyone hovering over you. When you go to buy a car, number one, it should be a fun experience. It should be exciting to see your new interior, to get that smell, to know how it's going to perform. Every time, if you haven't had a new car in 5 or 6 years, there's great new features for cars that you're excited about. And if you want to ask about them, their sales staff will be more than happy to give you the full rundown on all the different vehicles, whether it's the engine or the interior or whatever the case may be. But at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, you find the vehicles you want at your pace. And then whether it's a purchase or a lease, they are there to work with you, find as much money as they can from dealer cash back and different incentives and programs. And they're going to give you a lot for your trade-in value for the vehicle. They don't want to be beaten in that area either. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they're number one in customer satisfaction index year after year after year, and you'll find out why when you stop in. Start the car buying experience right now at LanceZCars.com or head down to Galveston. Head down to Angleton, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is a handsome man, right? I mean, there's no...
No, it's been verified.
It's verified.
Yeah, he's verified. Not just because he's Italian. Or Greek, one of them.
It's Italian. And
is that Italian or is that Greek? Happens. Garoppolo.
No, it's Italian.
Okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, his grandmother once, I don't think she speaks, I think she's from the old country. Anyway, Jimmy Garoppolo has been offered free sex for life from a couple of Las Vegas brothel workers. Caitlin Bell and Alice Little of the famous Chicken Ranch say they are really excited about Jimmy G coming to the Raiders, and they say, and she said, Bell said, I almost fainted when I heard Jimmy signed with the Raiders. I mean, he's been tied to a porn star before, right? He went on a date with Kiara Mia.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
You know, she's a.
Are you
know.
Sure she's a star?
Yeah. This is documented. This is back in.
No, I remember that. I didn't know if it was it Instagram model or a star of stage and screen.
She's the star of stage and screen.
Well, maybe not so much screen.
And you know, I mean, good. I mean, we saw Gronk. He's done.
Well, we know Gronk.
Gronk, yeah. In the past,
Gronk.
Jimmy G was a little surprising because I mean, Jimmy G can have any wholesome girl he wants, right? That he when he went out yep. with a porn star was a little bit surprising.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess anywhere Jimmy goes, I mean, so this is like offering, I don't know, cereal to Captain Crunch.
Yeah,
I mean, free sex for life. Jimmy could get free sex anywhere, any day, right? Yeah. I mean, he's got all that money. He's a quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Italian looks.
I mean, well, what does that have to do with anything?
I mean, he's got
Italian looks.
Yeah.
You know who else does? Al Pacino.
Yeah, great. Great looking guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
You seen him lately?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
You know what women never say? Well, Al Pacino's lost his fastball.
Well,
women are a lot better than us as people, aren't they?
As human
beings. Do women ever say he's just lost his boy?
Well, yeah, they're.
Robert De Niro's really lost his fastball.
No, they go, meh. No, not anymore, they say. Yes, women talk about that stuff too, trust me. They're, you think they're, oh, the nicer sex?
Yeah, they are.
No.
Look at you.
What? I can't be nicer. I can't be a nicer guy. Okay? I don't know what you're talking about.
No, women are like, oh, he makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Like guys have a shot who shouldn't have a shot with women. Not with guys.
Well, and money.
Guys are too
money
shallow.
Helps.
Well... Okay.
Okay.
That's a different wild card.
No, it's.
But not for everyone.
That ain't a wild card. That's the trump.
No,
card.
But we've seen certain.
Oh, you see,
literally,
you
did, I did that. But we've seen stars who date like down. I would say female starlets. You go, oh, well, how did he get lucky like that? It wasn't always money. Sometimes he just made them laugh.
Or other stuff.
What? They're not all just shallow. We're the shallow ones.
No, not shallow, but how did that the guy from...
Don't go to the Pete Davidson card.
Pete Davidson.
I know, it's a whole different thing. That's in Ariana Grande already put all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I know. She put it out there for everybody. And now, look, he can't... Everybody. I mean...
Dionne Warwick said she wanted to date him. Dionne, you're like 80. You can't date Pete Davidson.
Hey, 80-year-olds need love, too.
I know. Okay?
And she's like, hey, shut up, Lance. You go get yours, I'll get mine.
She's probably like 75, 76.
Whatever.
You've got, he's been Kate Beckinsale. It disgusts me. He looks like Beetlejuice.
He does.
I mean.
He looks like Birdman.
Just heinous. That's not right.
I know, right?
Yeah, maybe women are shallow.
They're extremely shallow.
Maybe you're right.
I mean, come on. Are any women listening right now? Are y'all shallow? Y'all say stuff.
I feel like we would win that award fairly easily, men.
Mm.
I mean, do they have pictures of it? Do you ever see men taking pictures? You know who women who turn around and take or have pictures where they're turned three quarters and the butt sticking out in Instagram, or they take pictures of themselves in a mirror? They're not doing it for themselves. You know who they're doing that for?
Other women.
Because, well, in a way...
No,
but then
you know who women dress for
is other women.
Other women.
That's true. But they don't take butt shots for other women. They take it because men are oglers. There's a reason that OnlyFans people can make. How much are you making on OnlyFans now? Well, I left my teaching job to make $240,000 a month on OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
You know who doesn't make $240,000 a month on OnlyFans? Men. Not from women buying their OnlyFans.
No, if men are...
We'd have to be gay.
No, well, okay.
Women are not spending money on OnlyFans,
men. There's a big difference between talking about a perv level and shallow level, okay? There's a difference.
Well, shallow meaning you just like the physical.
Well, yeah.
That's what OnlyFans is...
Well, okay, there's some pervy stuff, too. No.
You know what men don't do? They never do this.
Wait.
You never see men turning to get butt shots in a mirror of a gym.
They should.
Because women might like that.
They
you know,
might.
They
like, are you
but
kidding?
You don't see guys because you know what? It's not.
Oh, why do you think some women swipe right? Because of their personality? No. Because of how they look and how shallow they are.
Sure. I just think we've got them beaten that area.
You know, it takes two to swipe right, okay?
It takes
two. And women are just as shallow.
I don't think so. I don't think women are just as shallow as men.
Yeah, they are.
No,
absolutely.
No chance just as shallow.
Yeah. It's Jones
you think
says
it's
generational like anything else. Couldn't talk about it. Now nothing is off the table. Now women they talk about it. Yes, they absolutely do.
That's what Joan thinks?
Joan thinks, yep. Now you're not
the, Joan typically tells us the truth.
Back in the 60s, the women used to talk to, they'd have a couple cocktails, they'd be sitting there with their cigarettes and their little kids, and they were talking about stuff.
You know who Jones, I don't know if he still represents him, but do you know, I don't think he does. Jones' son is a Hollywood agent.
Oh, yeah?
And guess who he represented? Jonathan Groff. You know who that is?
Jonathan Groff.
King George from Hamilton, but also the main lead character from Mindhunter.
Oh,
the
really?
Young detective?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's who Jonathan Groff is.
He was King George?
Yeah. He was phenomenal as King George. Really
he
good.
He sings?
Oh, really well.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was great too.
And he's great in my... I know.
It's over.
R.I.P.
Nice job.
Mindhunter.
Nice job. Nice job, Joan.
I just started 1893. Is that what it's called? 1883?
1883 is over.
Yellowstone?
They did that already.
No, I know. I just started it.
Oh, you just started it.
Yeah. I think I watched all of Yellowstone.
I'll tell you this, okay? I'm going to say Harrison Ford's lost his fastball, okay?
Is he in 1883?
Yeah.
Okay, because I just saw Tim McGraw in there right now.
Yeah. He's in...
Harrison Ford lost his fastball?
No. Harrison Ford is in 1925 or whatever.
Yeah, that's the next one. Everyone tells me that 1883 is the best one that they've done.
Yeah.
So now I got
it. It's better than 1925 or whatever.
And I finished my, by the way.
Oh, my God. Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Pete Davidson.
No, they're not. She's with Ewan McGregor. She's already broken that marriage up.
She broke up his marriage.
Yeah, she's with them. They did Fargo together. Which the TV show Fargo's are really good, except the Chris Rock one stunk. But
they
the
did.
Other ones, yeah, the other ones are really good. The Chris Rock one was very disappointing. But by the way, so Netflix, I watched Korean show Squid Game. So did you.
Yep.
Korean show.
Yeah,
is it Korean show? Right? No. I watched a Japanese show, Alice in Borderland.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's also really, really good. Then I watched Korean show. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's really good. It's got Squid Game type stuff to it. Then I watched Korean show, The Glory. I watched both seasons where it's a revenge-oriented thing. I told you about the girl who was tortured in high school, and then she becomes a teacher of the girl who tortured her. She's the like elementary school teacher where the daughter is, but it goes way deeper than that. So now you should see what Netflix has for me. Oh, Lance, we've got some recommendations for you. It's all Asian. Right now, Netflix doesn't even believe that I like anything other than stand-up comedies and Asian shows. And to be honest with you, the Asian shows are pretty good.
Yeah.
They're really well done.
I know some guys that they're porn up. That's all they get.
Oh.
recommendations. I mean, one in particular.
Listen, the algorithms, they know.
They know.
Algorithms know, but I just like, hey, I don't want just Asian shows. Okay, Netflix, tell me about other stuff, too.
Recommended for you.
I don't just have Asian. I just got onto a little bit of a roll, but that was Squid Game was months ago.
Yeah.
It was months ago, maybe over a year ago, probably. Quit just giving me Asian recommendations.
Well, did you watch the Bruce Lee one, the Western?
Oh.
That was excellent. You mean,
yeah, I did.
Well, that
was HBO.
Go.
No, I watched that on, like, I didn't watch it on Netflix. Oh. So. Yeah, what was that one
was
called?
Excellent.
It was great.
Yeah, that was excellent.
That one was fantastic. Maybe I do just like Asian movies.
News of the world.
I like Parasite too.
Were you rooting for Japan yesterday? Probably.
They're cheerleaders if they had any. I like the Harajuku girls whenever Gwen Stefani had those girls.
Talking about Asian stuff. Maybe we got to call HR. Maybe we got to call HR&P. We got to find out. Well, if this is against any rules here, Lance, with all his Asian affection. Here's the deal is if you have HR issues at your business and you're trying to solve them, don't. Don't do it because you're probably going to mess it up. And if you mess it up, there's a chance that you could have issues. You could have issues with that person suing you with how you did it. You need an HR component. There's no question you need HR help. There's no question you need payroll help. Why are you wasting manpower? Man hours and not selling your widgets, worrying about payroll. This is something that needs to be done. You need to let HR&P take care of your payroll. They'll do it more economically. They'll do it perfectly. They'll also do all. They'll do all of your tax stuff as well. The Affordable Care Act. They're experts in all of this. You're wasting time. You're wasting money. You're wasting manpower. You're not selling your widgets. You're worried about something you shouldn't worry about. Don't. Okay. Let HR&P take care of it. If you're with a payroll company now that you're not completely satisfied with, go with ours. I'm telling you, they'll customize a plan that'll be perfect for you and your business. You'll love doing business with HR&P. We do. You will too. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Whether you own a
beard.
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, News of the Weird is brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. Lance, you've made mistakes before, right? Have you ever made a mistake?
I've not made a mistake in a year and a half.
You haven't made a mistake. But if you like a mistake, you left your shoes on your car before... You pooped in a bucket of popcorn, right?
I've made life decisions that have turned out
to
be mistakes.
How about death decisions? Apparently, a Philadelphia man was shot 21 times in a case of mistaken identity. Do you feel like that is a bad, bad mistake by a killer? That he accidentally killed the wrong man and shot him 21 times?
That's not great.
That's not the best
mistake.
That's a bad mistake.
Yeah.
Do you have... As a parent, what are your major concerns?
Currently, my daughter set an alarm so she could come into our bedroom last night. She set her alarm at about 1:30. That's a concern for me currently.
That would be a concern.
What are we doing? This isn't normal. Stop doing this.
Why would she set an alarm?
She
set her alarm to come in your bedroom.
Yeah, so she could wake up and come sleep next to her mom. She loves being around mom.
Okay.
So that's a concern currently. Good grades is a concern for me right now. Also, what are you going to do in life, right? What are you going to grow up and be a good person? Right. Are you going
to
be successful?
Well, apparently, according to a survey, the lack of qualified teachers tops the list of parents' concerns.
Oh, I already assumed that.
I'm more worried about their health and well-being.
Yeah, I'm not. That's not like.
That doesn't
I
seem
just,
like.
Just I, can they get good grades with an average to below average teacher?
Yeah.
I would think my grades would be easier for my kids with lesser teachers.
You would think. You would think.
Boy, I tell you, after all the videos I see on TikTok and YouTube, just can't understand why people wouldn't want to be teachers now. It seems like such a great.
Oh.
Could I be under? Let's see. I've got to learn how. I've got to deal with school shootings, fights, kids cussing me out, and I do it for less money than I should probably make. What's not to love?
What's not to love with that? Hey, a man suing Buffalo Wild Wings over their boneless wings. We talked about this before.
Yeah, it had bones.
It turns out he's also sued Tom's mouthwash, Kind granola, Hefty recycling bags. An attorney says it's possible he's just being annoying. Do you feel like this guy is just being annoying?
Okay, so did he sue Kind bars because he felt like they weren't kind?
Maybe that's why. Maybe or
some. Yeah, I think he's being annoying for sure.
Yeah,
I think he's being annoying. Now, he's got to be filing these suits on his own. There can't be a lawyer just saying, who knows, maybe they'll settle. Maybe we get 15 G's out of this.
A bill that would ban Skittles and other foods, which officials say contain certain chemical toxins, is making its way through the California legislature. Do you feel like Skittles should be banned?
No, but actually there are some issues with one of the colorings, I think, that's a known issue. So maybe they should change that. If it's toxic.
There's a toxic color?
Yeah, there's a... Yeah, white.
It is toxic. Is that the Karen?
See, I just dabbed.
Is that the Karen Skittles?
No, I think it's red. Actually, I think there's red dye, something in red dye. It's been around forever that's an issue.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What?
Nice.
What's red? You're trying to think what's... You're trying to think right now. What is red?
I know it's red. Okay.
What?
Been forever. Washington Redskins? Okay.
Oh!
Okay.
Command... Use the C word, please.
Audi has an entire team of people who...
Sleep in the car?
Smell things. That's all they do. They smell the steering wheel. They smell the seats.
No.
There's a guy smelling a steering wheel.
What are you smelling
because
a steering wheel
for? Because they
want to
make sure that it smells right.
What?
They have an entire...
I mean, don't you just get in a car and go... This is good.
It's a new car.
Yeah, new car. Smell like, checks out.
Right.
Checks out.
Oh, the week I checks got out. my new Ford truck, I had my buddies in. They farted in it. Ruined it.
Did they do it on purpose?
Yeah.
Just to ruin new car smell?
Yeah. Your car smells great. Here's this. Take this.
Good. I'm glad it got hit by a car now. Now I'll just trade in and get a different one. It smells new.
Smells like farts.
That doesn't sound like they're friends of yours.
They are.
They're just people you know.
I would do that to them. Trust me.
There we go.
A Chicago carjacker was busted after becoming confused by stick shift. Could you steal a stick shift car?
Yes.
You can drive a stick shift?
Mm-hmm. My first car was stick shift.
Yeah.
I only drove it because my friend one time got drunk in college, and so I had to drive his stick shift. So I learned very, very quickly how to drive. That's the only way I knew how to drive.
I drove a beer truck in Chicago.
Let me tell you, nothing scarier in my life. I've been really scared probably five times. One of them when I was on a decline with a stick shift, and there's a car behind me. You peel out like because you don't want to roll backwards.
You can't roll backwards.
So, man, that was terrifying. It was the first time I
saw
it. It was just a slight incline.
And hit it right away.
You got to hit it perfectly. You're basically throwing rocks on it.
Right. All right, we're done. Paul Gallant is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, everybody. Right now, I'm talking about T-Box Texas. That's my man. That is my man, Daniel, over at T-Box Texas. He and Catherine do an unbelievable job. And Corey and everybody else over there, I mean, they have wonderful people that are there that are the the managers, the bar staff, everybody can't be more. They really, really are nice people. But they got a great product, too. They've got, what they got is a sports bar because they got TVs all over the place. They got the bar. It's in the middle bar, too. It's a round bar. It's really cool, really neat. And you, so you can sit anywhere and you can see TVs from all over the place. But you also got 8 bays in which you got simulators, golf simulators in there. And they take care of the mats. They make sure they change them out all the time so that you're not hitting on old mats. You're hitting on new stuff. And you're playing over 100 different courses around the world. And you can play in the cold. Yesterday was cold and rain, a little cold and rainy. It wasn't a great day for golf. Really, really windy. Man, go to T-Box Texas. Get your drink on. Get your games on. Get your fun on. Bring people. Have a party. Join the league. Everything. Have a business meeting there. It happens. All of this stuff happens at TBoxTexas.com. Listen, if you're looking for a great time, you want to play golf night, day, wind, rain, cold, warm, whatever it is, you got it. T-Box Texas, T-E-E, TBoxTexas.com.
Tell them to bring me
Mr. Unlimited.
Can we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.